The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptizer had been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in Jesus. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, wasn't that a cheery bit of good news? Laura summarized the story well for the children and for the rest of us. In some ways, it reminds me of another story, and I'm sure you've all heard it. The Emperor's New Clothing, Hans Christian Andersen. I'm just going to remind you, if you've forgotten, it's a story about an emperor who loved to get dressed, loved to dress up in all the best finery and throw parties and such. And one day some shysters came into town and decided to set him up. They said, we'll create the finest clothing for you, the finest anyone has ever seen. And in fact, it's so amazing, only those who are worthy will be able to see it. And you know the rest of the story. The emperor would go check on them. He couldn't see anything. But he couldn't admit that he didn't see anything. So he would just tell them how wonderfully they were doing. Fantastic work. Oh, it's so beautiful. And he'd send some of his advisors in to check on them too. And of course, no one wanted to admit they couldn't see anything. So they would tell these shysters as well. These are the most beautiful articles of clothing I've ever seen. There's nothing like them anywhere else in the world. And they'd report back to the emperor, yes, the tailors are doing just fine. They're doing marvelous work. And finally, they were finished. And I'll put that in quotation marks. They were finished. And it was time for the emperor to get dressed. But only the worthy, you know, could see these clothing articles. So the emperor, who couldn't see them, pretended to put on what he could and threw a grand ball. And everyone oohed and aahed at the amazing clothing that the emperor wore. Isn't that just the most spectacular thing that he's wearing? It's so beautiful. There's none like it anywhere else in the universe. Except for the small child who said he's got nothing on at all. And everyone else knew it. Too. That is the story of all earthly power. Chris read about it from the prophet Amos this morning. Amos is saying the people are going to go into exile. The king is going to fall. And instead of listening to the prophet, they told the prophet, get out of town. You need to leave. John the Baptist, his only purpose in this universe was to point to Jesus. You remember his story? From the time he was in his mother's womb, when he was around Jesus, he'd be like, Mom, it's Jesus! And at the River Jordan, here is the one, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. I point you back to that peak on our back windows. That precious Lamb of God. And John spent his ministry pointing to Jesus and speaking truth, even to power. Well, when you speak truth to power, it's like being the little child who says the emperor has no clothing. It sincerely is. We are surrounded by the message that power wants us to hear. Think about it. Who advertises on the nightly news? Who pays for the news that we hear? You know. It's earthly power. What the Bible tells us is that earthly power is not even in the same universe as the power of God. Herod had the power to kill, and he did. Even though he liked John the Baptist and he was intrigued by John's teaching, John spoke truth to power and became unpopular. And without a second thought, when the girl asked for John's head on a platter, it wasn't even her idea. She went to her mother. And I want to point this out to the young people in the congregation. This is a message to think for yourself. She went to her mother, who was spiteful and evil and mean, and she said, "What should I ask for?" She could have gotten half of Herod's kingdom. What she got was a dead prophet. This is one of the more gruesome stories in the New Testament. It's not a story we read to our children at night. No, listen, children. If you follow Jesus, no. No. And yet, it is in the Gospels. Why is it in the Gospels? Because John the Baptist always precedes Jesus. John's death was a prelude to Jesus' death on the cross. Why did Jesus die? Because the powers of this world couldn't handle his message. The powers of this world could not handle his message. What did Jesus proclaim? Good news to the poor. What are we told to do? Blame the poor for being poor. What did Jesus do? He reached out to the outcast. What does the world tell us to do? Ignore them. Turn our backs on them. Pretend they're not there. Jesus brought healing, physical and emotional, and most of all, spiritual. What does the world tell us to do? Take a pill, preferably one that a big pharmaceutical is making a lot of money off of, the one that advertises. And you know who advertises most on the nightly news, right? I'm not going to say it out loud because there are kids here. The message of Jesus is life. Life. Everlasting. But also joyful and abundant here and now. And not just for those who claim earthly power, but for the humble, the lowly, the lonely, the grieving. grieving. Earthly power is the emperor's new clothing. Power that comes from the risen Christ, that's the real deal. And he gives it to you. The prophet Amos said, I'm not even a prophet. I'm just a dresser of sycamore trees. This is true of everyone that God called throughout Scripture. None of them were professional speakers, teachers, leaders. God called everyday people, touched them with his Holy Spirit. People just like you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the waters of holy baptism, you are called. You are called to proclaim. The emperor has no clothing. But God reigns forever. And through Christ Jesus, his healing, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his power is yours. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the one who is real, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.